The Nourish and Shine podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only, and it is not medical, mental health, or healthcare advice. The information presented here is not intended to diagnose, treat, heal, cure, or prevent any illness, medical condition, or mental or emotional condition. Please make sure you consult with a trusted healthcare professional before you make any changes. Welcome to Nourish and Shine, where I talk with passionate leaders in the fields of nutrition, functional and integrative medicine, and wellness, providing inspiration and practical advice to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, optimize your health, and live a whole, vibrant life starting now. I am absolutely delighted to be talking with my friend Laura Burr today. She is a registered pharmacist and a homeopathic practitioner and health coach. She is one of the most amazing people I know, and I just so admire her for her depth of knowledge and how she brings such a wonderful integrative perspective to pharmacy and all those who she comes into contact with. She has a mission that is to apply both her knowledge of homeopathic remedies and Western allopathic medicines to bring a complete circle of health and wellness to her clients and all those who seek out homeopathy. And I think she is just doing a wonderful job with it. Today's episode, we're going to talk about kind of the basics of homeopathy, what's going on with the FDA draft guidance. We're also going to get into microdosing and so much more. So I hope you really enjoy this episode. And if you do, please leave me a ratings or review on iTunes. Welcome to Nourish and Shine. Today, I'm talking with Laura Burr. She is a pharmacist, health coach, and homeopath. Welcome, Laura.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. And we're actually talking in person, which is super nice. And I'm excited to be face to face with you. Mm-hmm. So first, I'd love for you to start off telling our audience all about yourself.
Oh, thank you. And I'm here on such a beautiful day too. It's so scenic here.
Yeah.
So thank you for the invitation. My name is Laura Burr, and I am a pharmacist. Initially, I went to pharmacy school at Drake University forever ago. And then I learned so much about medicine, which is very intriguing. It was always very good to know. And then I thought, there's got to be something else out there. We have our wonderful medicines, but there has to be another solution. So I started digging and researching. And I found out about homeopathy, and I went to homeopathy school. I went to the Northwestern Academy of Homeopathy. At that time, it was a 3-year program. So we had 2 years of didactic and then a year of student clinic, and became a certified homeopath and continuing my training with talking to people and learning about homeopathy from teachers from all over the world. So I've studied with people. I did the homeopathic master clinician course with Lewis Klein out of Canada. I've studied with Rajan Sankaran from India, Jan Scholten from Utrecht in the Netherlands. So getting a wide variety, and each homeopath has a different perspective, and it just adds a lot of tools and perspective into using homeopathy and helping people with homeopathy. So I still, during all of that time, I worked as a pharmacist, as a retail pharmacist. I have my homeopathic practice in Bryn Mawr, and which is a neighborhood in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And then just recently I moved over out of the retail sector of pharmacy, and I'm a pharmacist health coach.
Can you kind of explain what is homeopathy and kind of some of the main principles of homeopathy?
Sure, I can definitely help out with that, because it's a long word. Some people say homeopathy, or they'll say the homeopath, or first pronouncing it is kind of hard, and it doesn't have a simple explanation. You know, some people might have the elevator speech, like the 1-second speech about something. In homeopathy, it's a little bit longer and harder to describe. So homeopathy has been around since before the 1800s. So if you think of what people were doing before regular allopathic medicine, it started in Germany from Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, who himself knew 6 different languages. He was a medical doctor himself. He was kind of fed up with the times of how they're treating people with bloodletting. Thankfully, we don't have a lot of bloodletting anymore or treating with mercury. He transitioned over into translating medical books from all over the world. So, and when he was doing those translations, he came up with the idea of homeopathy. His main spark of idea really came along with quinine. So quinine was really the first homeopathic remedy because it was used to treat malaria, but when people take a lot of quinine, they start having symptoms of malaria. They start having those intermittent low-grade fevers, and when they stop the quinine, it goes away. So he kind of developed the ideas of like cures like. So, and then also at the time dealing with a lot of the toxic substances, he's like, well, you can't be giving these poisons to people. You can't be doing that. So then he got into the idea of dilutions. So what really makes homeopathy unique, based on the principles of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann and the Organon of homeopathy, is the principle of like cures like. So homeopathic is like cures like, similar pathos. And then it's also the preparation of the remedies so that they're diluted and succussed. Sometimes they're diluted so much that there's no active molecule left. So it's really mostly more along the lines of, say, an energy medicine, for lack of a better term. That's what makes it unique, and that's what makes it work. So the way that I come to an understanding of that with the dilutions of the remedies is that somebody is in a positive state, a positive energy state, and when they come to my office and they do a homeopathic consultation, they tell me all of their symptoms. They tell me their whole past history. They tell me everything that's going on to what got them to that moment in time. And it paints a beautiful remedy picture. And so I give them that remedy of the picture that it paints, but I give them the equal but opposite. I give them the negative version. That's how I understand it. And then it cancels. Once they get the right remedy and the right potency, it cancels the symptoms out so the person doesn't need to express those symptoms anymore. So it's like cures like, but then I also look at it as equal but opposite. So it's kind of canceling out the energies.
Oh, wow. That's such a good description. And I think that's probably the best description I've ever heard.
Okay. So. And it was long.
Yeah. It's not an elevator speech.
It's not an elevator speech. So how do we get to, you know, it's a long-winded speech, and it makes it so that homeopathy is different than regular like herbs or dietary supplements or essential oils in that process of that it's the like cures like. And that it is also the dilutions and the succussions that actually make the remedies. So that has been in practice since Dr. Samuel Hahnemann's time, so pre-1800s, 1850s. And along that way, they have a whole book called the Homeopathic Pharmacopoeia. As pharmacists, we know that there's United States Pharmacopoeia, which is for regular medicine, which is the standards and regulations for regular pharmaceutical medicine. We also have our homeopathic pharmacopoeia, which tells us how to make certain remedies, what goes into making those, so the standards and directions for making the homeopathy. So homeopathy currently is also different from dietary supplements in that it is regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. So it does have its standards and practices, and it's overseen by the FDA. And then you also have really wonderful organizations like the Homeopathic Pharmacists Associations, the National Center for Homeopathy helps out. We have these really great organizations that really kind of hone in honor the practice and traditions of homeopathy.
Let's talk about the dilution. So, and you mentioned herbs and aromatherapy. Can you kind of compare and contrast herbs and aromatherapy and also talk a little bit more about how the remedies are diluted?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I can do that. Let's take, for example, wonderful chamomile. So we have a nice soothing herb that's really calming and soothing. And it's a beautiful flower in the Asteraceae family, or the former Compositae family. And yeah, people will drink that. It's in a lot of teas. It's nighttime. It's calming, soothing. But then we also have it as a homeopathic remedy. So what they will do is they will take the chamomile flowers. They'll put it in a solution of, say 99 drops of water and one drop of alcohol, just as a preservative. And then they will dilute it. So it's been diluted. They take 1 gram of the chamomile and 99 drops of water. So equals 100. And then they succuss it, which succussion is like banging in traditional times, they would bang it on an organon. So the organon of homeopathy, or if you're talking about Dr. James Tyler Kent out of Chicago, he would pound it on a Bible. So a hard book. So you take the remedy and you pound it 100 times. And then you take one drop of that solution. You put in another 99 drops of water, and then you pound it 100 times. So that makes it a 1C dilution. And then you take a drop of that into another 99 drops of water. That makes it a 2C, and you do the succussions. So it's a whole process. So when you see a homeopathic remedy at your co-op or Whole Foods or vitamin shop, wherever you get your homeopathic remedies, you might see on it that it says chamomilla, myrticum, they go by the Latin names, 30C. The 30 part means that it was diluted 30 times. So it's beyond Avogadro's number. So there's no active molecule left. And C is kind of a Roman numeral that means 100 drops of water. So it's been diluted 30 times in 100 drops of water. There might be another one that says 200C, which means it's been diluted 200 times in 100 drops of water. Or there's also, say, a 1M, which has been diluted 1,000 times. So when you talk about homeopathy, the more dilute it is, the stronger it becomes, or the more negative it gets, the deeper it goes, which is different than, say, the tea, the actual material, the actual substance is what you're going to get with, say, aromatherapy is going to be a very concentrated version of chamomile or lavender or peppermint. An herb is just going to be the actual substance, the actual material dose, or the mother, you know, the mother part. And then the homeopathic remedy is going to be the energy of that plant, whatever is representative. So I mentioned that chamomile as an herb is soothing and calming. So when I look at the homeopathic remedy picture that I talked about, when somebody's coming in and presenting a homeopathic remedy picture who needs chamomilla, they are angry, they're irritated, they're screaming, think a child with a temper tantrum, a child that's teething, a child with red cheeks. So if you see that, you're like, oh, you just need a little bit of chamomilla. And it's soothing and calming for them. It's the like cures like, it's soothing and calming for them. Or another common homeopathic remedy would be, say, Allium sepa, which is onion. Mm-hmm. So we know that when we cut an onion, your eyes become really teary. Most people cry and their nose starts to run and it's really burning. So when people have, say, allergy symptoms where their eyes are really burning and their nose, we give the homeopathic Allium sepa and it takes those symptoms away. It's the light cures light picture. So it's really taking into account what the person is presenting in front of you at that moment in time, giving a remedy that matches or, you know, remedy that mirrors them. And then it's giving the remedy that matches in potency to help take away those symptoms, to help eliminate them.
It's a little bit counterintuitive to think of like the more dilute, the more potent it mm-hmm. is. As far as the remedies go, I know there's a few different ways to take remedies mm-hmm. as well. Could you speak to that?
Yeah, there are. Usually most people will see them in the pellet form. So I talked about the dilutions and succussion. Usually that's in liquid. And then they'll take that liquid and they'll put that liquid over milk sugar pellets. So a lot of times the remedies just taste like sugar. So kiddos love to take them. Everybody pretty much likes to take them because they taste like sugar. And so usually most people see those milk sugar or lactose pellets. They also have sprays that you can use. Another mildly homeopathic remedy that a lot of people will see out there are, say, the batch flower essences or BACH. Mm-hmm. So things like Rescue Remedy, those are all mild dilutions, and you'll see those coming in gums, sprays, liquid. Yeah, there are a bunch of different liquid forms there. And I know that some people will have homeopathic remedies where they might do, say, a nasal dose. Mm-hmm. I don't really see a lot of injectable. For me, as a classic mm-hmm. homeopath, I don't really see a lot of injections of homeopathy, but I know that there is a sector of people who do use that. So there are a variety of different ways that people, or some people can just put them in lotion and have it be topical. So really, when we're getting a dose of the remedy, what it's hoping to do is that it's going to shift the energy. And this is where I come in with my silly GPS. Your body's recalculating. So once you take the remedy, the body starts to recalculate. It starts to reset itself energetically wise. So you're taking in the remedy, whichever dosage form, pharmaceutical dosage form that you wish to use. And then we wait. So the other thing that makes homeopathy different from regular medicine is that you don't have to take it all the time. So it's one of those things that when you take a medicine, you need to take it every day. It's following these pharmacokinetic profiles of metabolism. It's, you know, it has to be absorbed through the stomach and go through the liver and be cleared through the kidneys. You know, you have this whole pharmacokinetic profile with regular medicine, where with homeopathy, if you have symptoms, you take a remedy. Hopefully those symptoms go away or they become minimized. And then you only take the remedy if those symptoms come back. So it could be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, couple of months before the symptoms come back, then you redose the remedy. So it's kind of what I call it in my practice. It's initiating the resetting process or initiating the recalculating process so that the body doesn't need to show those symptoms anymore. So that's a little bit different from what regular allopathic medicine is versus what homeopathic medicine is. It also varies the dosing of when you take the remedy.
So with the remedies then, since there's different types of remedies mm-hmm. or different like dosage forms of remedies, mm-hmm. are certain dosage forms best for certain conditions or is it basically patient preference?
It can be patient preference, but there might be situations, say somebody, again, as a homeopath, I'm not going to tell people to stop taking medications. I'm not going to tell them to not see a doctor. They should still see their regular medical doctor. But if they are taking medicines, if we do need to do like a daily dose. I mentioned like it might be something where if we need to do just a small minor daily dose. So a lot of times people might do a liquid form of a remedy for somebody who's on a lot of medications or if we're just hoping to tread in slowly. You know, again, like the idea of the onion layers that we just need to work and get people stronger and hopefully keep building. So some people might do a liquid remedy. Some people say if they can't, if they are not responsive, you can mm-hmm. still put remedy in their mouth or on their wrist to get. So it's also looking at, they have these stories, these amazing stories of people really being revived. Like say somebody needs carbo veg, which is vegetable charcoal. Those people are very severely depleted. They might be unconscious. You give them a little bit of the carbo veg. Of course, they're already seeking other medical treatment, but I'm talking about back in the day before there's regular medicine. Of just how it can just really revive people and really bring them back. So it's pretty incredible the stories of homeopathy has been used quite a lot through plagues, epidemics. The 1918 flu epidemic, you'll see records and stories of the homeopathic hospitals had nearly almost a 0% mortality rate, which is phenomenal compared to what happened in the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic. It's really surprising of how effective homeopathy has worked through cholera epidemics, influenza epidemics. It's really remarkable. And with cholera, you will see a lot of collapse that can happen. And so some of the main remedies that were used for that, for those certain epidemics, were veratrum, camphora, and copper. And veratrum, they're super icy cold. They're blue. There's a state of collapse. So what's nice is with the different dosage forms, you'd be able to still have access to the remedies. If you're, say, dosing a dog or a baby, mm-hmm. you know, a dog, yeah. you might just need to rub remedy in their ears, or a baby, sometimes they might just put it in their bottle so that they can have mm-hmm. a dose of it through the bottle, or rub it on their gums, or rub it on certain pulse points, just as a place to start. And then once we start getting better and the remedy starts getting better, then probably would switch to the by mouth, the sublingual. So something that's dissolved under the tongue.
How about for someone with like lactose allergy? Do they need to be concerned about that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it would really depend on the severity, although I've never heard of anybody having any issue with the milk sugar pellets.
Okay.
But if somebody does have a milk sugar allergy, you certainly would want to let the homeopath know and they might go with, say, that liquid form.
Cool.
Yeah, instead.
And
yeah.
I had never heard of it being used like topically other than seeing like the Arnica gel yeah. and things that are available on the market.
Yeah.
But putting it on various like pulse points, mm-hmm.
is really a neat application. I hadn't heard that before.
So, yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear kind of about your practice and how you incorporate like your traditional pharmacy training plus your homeopathic training.
Oh, yeah. So I graduated from the Northwestern Academy of Homeopathy in 2002 and I started a practice and I've been at my current office since 2008. So 11 years I've been at my current practice in Bryn Mawr. And I've always worked part-time as a pharmacist and part-time as a homeopath. That works out well for me and for my practice in that I don't get too burned out on pharmacy and I don't get too burned out on my homeopathic practice. It's kind of a nice integrative approach. And I've always thought of myself when I'm working in the pharmacy and people do have questions about homeopathy because remedies are available at regular pharmacy. If you think of the Zicam, the Cold Ease, Oscillococcinum, we have all of the Highlands remedies that are available in the cough and cold. You have digestive remedies. So I'd be able to talk to people about those remedies and explain to them like, okay, you have a list of these five ingredients here. I can go through and tell you about these individual ingredients and tell you what to expect when you're getting a homeopathic remedy. Or when people would come to me, I would still be giving them their medicine and educate them about their medicine, but also looking at different perspectives for them. Like, oh, you know, if you just had dental surgery, you know, hey, have you thought about doing a little bit of Arnica to help out with the healing? Have you thought about doing, you know, and Arnica is so readily available, which is another plant from the Astralis family. So I would always be able to do more of an integrative approach. It's like, well, hopefully my idea would be, hopefully we wouldn't need to use Western medication, but if we do need to use it, we have it, it's available for us, but hopefully we can come in and get a good balance, a good whole circle of health. We can use medicine when we need it, but hopefully we can use remedies to kind of come in to help support somebody. So I've always taken a very strongly integrative approach to medicine, and they always taught us in pharmacy school that less medicine is best. So even with dosage forms, with the amount of medicine that people take, they always said less medicine is best to create a therapeutic level of what we're looking for a curative process with regular medicine. But hopefully we can come through energetically and help people out so that they need medicine less and less. At my practice, I'm usually there on Tuesdays now in my office hours. Mondays, I do more phone calls and emails. I can do Skype appointments if needed or phone call appointments if needed. But usually the initial consultation will be about 2 hours so that people can really explain, feel listened to, and feel heard. So that's also different than the regular doctor's appointment, which might be 10 or 15 minutes in length. Here you go to the homeopath and they want to know about everything. And sometimes I'll tell them like, oh, I might come up with an oddball question here. They're like, do you like oranges? Or, you know, it's looking at those modalities of like, so you have pain in your shoulder. What makes that pain better or worse? Like, is it laying on it with hard pressure? Is it reaching up makes it better? Is it ice or cold? Or it's only worse when a storm's coming in? All of those modalities lead to that remedy picture that I was talking about. And you can take, I should go back and say, you can take the remedies with or without food.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is just, it's looking at just the energy of the state. Mm-hmm. And listening to a person. So the initial consultation is when a lot of work is being done, where you really get to know the person, to know what their experience has been like within their families, within their friendships, within their relationships, within their working relationships. So where are they at in life? Somebody who is a secretary might be in a different place than somebody who is a chef, you know, or an artist. So all of those, even somebody's occupation would lead to the idea of what remedy they should get as a constitutional remedy. So we're looking at something that is for the whole person, for everything. And we're also looking at the totality of symptoms. So say we have an artist who has shoulder problems, who also has a bad relationship with their family, and they don't sleep very well and they're always waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning. They crave certain foods. I'm looking at all of those totality of symptoms. And then I find the remedy that matches those symptoms and give them the remedy to take that whole picture approach.
Oh, that is so neat. And what a comprehensive approach, really. Yeah. And I think the one thing that comes up for me when you're talking about this is like the value of actually working with a homeopath. Mm-hmm. How does that compare to like going in the pharmacy and buying like one of the multi-ingredient mm-hmm. products? And kind of what's the thought on like many remedies in one thing versus mm-hmm. like a single remedy?
Those are all very good questions, because there is an entry point where people are just testing the waters and trying things out. Maybe you haven't heard of homeopathy before, but you're like, well, but I've tried that Zicam before, which is homeopathic zinc. It's been diluted one time. So you'll see on the box, it'll say 1X. So it's been diluted one time in 10 drops of water. So it's very mildly homeopathic. It's very low, 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 low dose of remedy. But it's a way for somebody to find out like, oh, this really worked for me. Oh, what other things with homeopathy can help me out? When we deal with the combination remedies, and it's about access to it, what's mm-hmm. available to you. If you're looking at a cough and cold product, what they're doing there, they might have five ingredients, five different homeopathic remedies there, and they're hoping that one of those will hit. So they're like, well, we have five remedies that are really common for the cold, which might be Nature Muriaticum, which is homeopathic sea salt, a little bit of Allium sepa. It might have homeopathic histamine. So histamine that's naturally found in the body, might also have a little bit of Nux vomica and then a little bit of chamomile. Not all five of those are working all together. It's just hoping that, well, we're going to cover about 86% of the people. So 86% of the people are going to get some relief from one of that remedy because it's going to match close enough. So people can test the waters. They can try out things. They can go to, say, the National Center for Homeopathy and find a remedy finder for, say, they have allergies, arthritis, certain different types of pains, different types of digestive issues. They can go and look for a remedy that matches their symptoms. And so they'll have paragraphs, you know, here's the remedy sulfur. And this is what the picture of remedy for sulfur would look like. If that matches your symptoms, then it might be a good idea for you to take it. So it's a way for people to, but if you're looking for something deeper, for a longer constitutional case, for more of that whole picture, somebody who's going to be a partner with you and working with you to really get that understanding of what's going on with you, then you might want to look to see a homeopathic practitioner, a certified homeopathic practitioner.
Yeah, let's talk about that. What sort of training would you recommend they look for it?
Yeah, I am a certified homeopath through the Council of Homeopathic Certification. So they do have a website where you can go look for homeopaths that are certified homeopaths. But I look for training for people who have had a good amount of years of or working, having a mentorship with a homeopath, somebody that has been in practice for a while, and somebody who has had a good background in health. I come from a pharmacy background. I know a lot of the homeopaths that I know also have a background in nursing. They might have a background in other different holistic therapies that have led them to starting their homeopathic practice or learning more about homeopathy. What's also interesting is that there are also homeopathic farmers that use homeopathy for their animals and use homeopathy for their plants.
Oh, cool.
So there's all that whole different aspect. But so it's also looking at, there might be people that have different specialties. Like some homeopaths might have experience with working with people with women and children. Some people might have experience with working with people with trauma. Some people, and that might be their area of expertise that they're looking towards. Some people might have more chronic illnesses. Some people might work with people who are on a lot of medications, like me. So a lot of people might come to me because they are on a lot of medications. And again, I don't tell them to change any of their medication. That's for with their own healthcare provider. But it's also looking at how can we get to an understanding of what these medicines are doing for you? How can we see a remedy state through that remedy picture to get you the right remedy? So it's kind of finding out when I'm looking for a homeopath, I want somebody to be able to, that we're a good fit. Because you're going to have that good communication style with somebody. You want somebody to be able to really understand you and somebody that you feel comfortable with. So it's looking at, okay, what, ask them what their training was. I went to a 3-year program. Now it's a 4-year program. Are they a certified homeopath through the Council of Homeopathic Certification or other certifications that are out there? How long have they been in practice? And if there's any amount of specialties that they've worked with in the past,
So I wanted to talk about the FDA draft guidance that's out there. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, thank you for asking. Because like I said, it was something that the FDA does oversee, the homeopathic remedies and the homeopathic products. And so they did do research, and they did have people come in. And they did have sessions where people could talk about homeopathic remedies and help the FDA provide guidance for how we should proceed, because it originally started in 1933, was the initial guidance. And then there was a review in 1970. So now 2018, they're finally reviewing it. And so they're thinking that there might be some modifications. So the reason I bring that up is because it might be limiting access to what's available for people to use for homeopathic remedies. And so when we're talking about health freedoms or health choices, it's nice to be able to have those health freedoms to have access to the remedies that a homeopathic practitioner would be needing. So there is Americans for Homeopathy Choice or the National Center for Homeopathy. There are a variety of different websites that you can go to find out more about the FDA draft guidance. We're hoping to put out there a 180-day extension so that we can talk further with the FDA, so that we can ensure that homeopathy can continue moving forward the way that it has been for, you know, almost 100 years without having any issues. Because homeopathy, with it being so dilute, there's no dark interactions with it because it works so differently. I talk to people about regular medicine and homeopathy. I'm like, I can't even really compare them, because even if I say they're apples and oranges, those are at least both fruit. This is totally different. We're not dealing with pharmacokinetic profiles. We're not dealing with any drug interactions. We're not dealing, it's safe. It's not toxic. So it's really something that's safe and easy to use for people. And so it's nice that people would have access to it. So we just are hoping that with the new FDA draft guidance that we won't have any limitations on our practice. And so we're asking people to hopefully extend and help us make certain that homeopathy is available for everybody in the future.
Yeah. And can you explain, I guess, to me, it just seems kind of crazy that they're trying to limit it, especially with the safety profile being so good and the lack of drug interactions, the safety in pretty much everybody, including pregnancy and children and everything. What is their main concern, or like, what are they kind of facing that?
Yeah. And I know the FDA is about keeping the public safe. You know, they want people to be safe and have access to safe products. But I think it's been always that confusion that homeopathy is like herbs, or that it is, or what we will see is that there will be products out there that have homeopathic remedies and herbs combined in it. So then they're marketing it as a homeopathic product when it really isn't a homeopathic product, because it still has some material dose with it. So I think it's looking at how can we really help educate the public about what homeopathy truly is and how safe it is and how we can keep people being safe with it. So it's really about keeping people safe, but still having access to the remedies so that they're feeling better, that they're healthy.
I think you bring up a good point that there is probably a lot of misunderstanding around what homeopathy is and what it entails. But I think once you kind of understand what it is, it's hard to understand why there would be limitations to it, at least from my perspective.
Yeah. Yes. And it's always good to review and always have guidance. And I take comfort in the fact that there are these agencies in place, like the Homeopathic Pharmacopeia, like the homeopathic pharmacies and the national organizations. We do have oversight and we do have certifications. So you're not dealing with somebody who isn't trained and certified. So it's looking at, I appreciate those organizations so that everybody is safe and that everything is on the up and up.
So one thing we were talking about before we started recording was the opioid epidemic and how homeopathy can actually help with this. So I'd love to hear, again, your thoughts on that.
Yeah, with the opioid epidemic, it's tragic what's happening to a lot of people. And it's one of those things that people will have a dental surgery, or they'll just go in for a minor surgery and they're given an opioid medication and not thinking, well, this is safe and legal. It was ordered from the doctor. I can take this. And then for some people, it just turns on a switch for them where it makes them feel really good. In a way. And so they always want to be striving. Who doesn't want to strive to feel really good? You know, it puts them in a place that feels good. It takes away any pain. And sometimes it's hard to get out of that. And so it's looking at opioids. How can we minimize the use of the opioids? We can't, people are still going to have pain. People are still going to have surgeries. What can we do to minimize the usage and the need for those opioid medications? We might switch to anti-inflammatories or the NSAIDs. Some people can't take those NSAIDs. They might have digestive issues. They might have kidney issues where they can't take, they might have allergy issues. So what can we do to help manage pain? And most people are going to have a really good Arnica story. Arnica is always the first go-to for any amount of trauma or surgery or having a tooth pulled. For me, it just makes sense. Like, well, just take some Arnica. And most of my family will probably joke about it because, you know, they'll call me, all my friends or my family will call me and like, what should I do? I fell off my bike. I'm like, well, did you take some Arnica? You know, it's always, and they're like, yep. Or, you know, somebody falls, somebody had something hurt. Well, did you take some Arnica? I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about the Arnica. So that's usually the first go-to, but then there's also, once we're out of that Arnica state, that acute trauma shock state, then there are really nice remedies to follow up with. So say, somebody has, a joint injury, a knee injury, say they broke their ribs, which for broken ribs, there isn't much that you can do. Take some Arnica, and then you probably would need to come through with a little bit of Bryonia, which is hops, wild hops.
Oh, cool.
So it works really well, and it's a homeopathic dilute. And that's the remedy that is going to help out everybody with, say, broken ribs. Or say you have a broken bone, take Arnica first, and then you come through with Symphytum, which is knit bone. It helps knit the bone back together. And so it really speeds the healing quite quickly. So you also have, say, Symphytum for an injury to the eye. That works out really well. Or Ruda for injury to the eye. Or other strains. Lots of really good ideas for acute care that can really be mitigated with just taking a homeopathic remedy. So I'm excited to, I'll hopefully be going to the National Center for Homeopathy conference in May, which is about the opioid epidemic and how homeopathy and remedies can really help out with pain management. And it's an integrative process. So it's working with your providers, it's working with your homeopath, it's working with your other providers to help manage that pain. So hopefully we don't tip those scales into needing the opioids and needing them more and more, where we want to tip the scales the other way so that we're needing them less and less.
That makes so much sense. And that's when you said everybody has an Arnica story. I know I was sharing with you before this that when I was 36 weeks pregnant, I had my appendix out and I was extremely thankful for opioids right away. I was in a ton of pain, but after less than 24 hours, I was taking Arnica and basically stopped all other medication at that point. Because I was pregnant, I didn't want to take a lot of medications at all. And I was amazed at how I really didn't need anything then.
Right.
Like I was in excruciating pain right away. And then, yeah, it really was incredibly effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, everybody is going to have like, wow, I couldn't believe how fast I healed from that surgery. Or I couldn't believe how quickly the bruising went away. Of course, Arnica is not to be taken every day. It's only for those acute situations. And then you might need to follow up with other remedies. But it's one of those things that, you know, somebody gets hit in the eye or they have a concussion, really good remedies for a concussion. And there isn't much that regular medicine can, they're trying.
Yeah.
They're really trying to come through with really good medicine and treatment protocols for people with concussion. But I watch sports or I'm watching and I see somebody get injured. I'm like, give them some, I'm like, yeah, give them some Arnica. Or, you know, if they have a concussion, I'm like, well, make sure they get some Arnica and then come through with some Natrum Sulfuricum or, you know, one of the other really good concussion remedies that come through. So it's really, a lot of people will find homeopathy after they have already gone through the medical system and they're like, well, I'm trying everything. I need to try something that will help me. So they're searching, they might use it as a preventative too, as they're just trying to stay healthy, keep their health and wellness going. So yeah, there's a variety of ways that people will reach out to homeopathy, or maybe there is some sort of acute situation that they need to get a remedy. And
with homeopathy, one thing that just came to mind is how many times a day do most people take remedies, or does that vary based on the remedy as well?
It varies based on the remedy, and it also varies on what they're experiencing and what they're going through with. Like I probably maybe take a remedy once every 2 weeks, maybe once every 4 weeks. It's not that often. Mm-hmm. But then we also have some people might take another part of the homeopathic remedies are tissue salts or cell salts, which are really low potencies of calcium or phosphorus or sulfur or salt. It's really, and so they, people can take those two or three times a day to keep their bones healthy, to keep their allergies at bay, to keep their energy up. So there's, there are different dosage forms. So it really depends on what the person is experiencing and what they need. And even then they might only need it for say 6 weeks and then they need to take something different. So it's really, if you think of, staying on course with something, you know, when you're driving, you always kind of need to kind of adjust the steering wheel to stay in your lane. It's kind of that way with homeopathy. Like for the most part, you can stay in your lane without needing a remedy. But if there's any veering or correction, we can kind of come in with a remedy to help out, things on course.
Let's talk about microdosing. That's something I've been hearing a little bit more about lately. I feel like it's getting kind of popular.
It is getting really popular. And so it might be looking at those tissue salts or those cell salts, because those are really, it's only like a 6X. It's very small dilution. Or looking at those batch flower remedies, which there are 39 different batch flower remedies. Or some people might look at regular medicine. I have been seeing that more with regular medicine instead of going with the higher doses. Maybe they're doing something more with microdosing. Or now we're also seeing it, say, with different other pharmaceuticals, like it might be microdosing with ketamine or LSD or the mushrooms.
That's what I was just thinking of. A lot of the microdosing there too. I think it was like Ben Greenfield or somebody talking about microdosing with LSD. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is really fascinating.
Yeah. And where does that cross the line with homeopathy? Because homeopathy is really, really, really small dilutions of something. So what, you know, what is microdosing? Those are going to be very, very small doses. Homeopathy is also along those same lines, as long as we're following those homeopathic principles of like, here's like, and the dilutions and succussions to get that energy.
I feel like I could talk to you all day about
this. Yeah, I could keep going.
So as far as research on homeopathy goes, is there a lot of good research on homeopathy and where do you find that?
Very good question, because a lot of people will say there aren't good studies, and it's hard when somebody has, say, allergies or they have Crohn's disease or colitis or something. Somebody's going to need a different remedy for their symptoms. And so it's hard to, we can't do single testing on just say Pulsatilla, because not everybody's going to need Pulsatilla for colitis, or they're not going to need Pulsatilla for their allergies. So it's hard to do traditional standardized testing, but there are actually a lot of very good studies that are out there that prove the effectiveness of homeopathy. And the website is the Homeopathic Research Institute out of England is doing a fantastic job of keeping track of all those amazing studies. They also worked, there are a couple of good movies that have come out called Just One Drop or Magic Pills. Those are two really good movies about homeopathy. And in Just One Drop, there is a little controversy about how in Australia, they did an initial look at homeopathy, and they're looking for research that's been done on homeopathy. And they found out that that homeopathy worked with the study. And so what happened is they rigged it, and they're like, oh, well, we'll only allow these certain studies. So then it came out, Australia came out and said that no, homeopathy doesn't work based on these, only these 60 studies. And so there was a big to-do about petitioning the government of Australia to say, hey, release that first report. Release that. And they finally released the first report that proved that homeopathy works. So you have a lot of powers that be that want to keep things under wraps, but homeopathy is used throughout the whole world. I mentioned Germany where it started, but it's, you'll see it in Paris. It's, you have lots of homeopathic hospitals in India. It's all throughout Eastern and Western Europe. The royal family has their homeopathic doctors. Oh, so neat. People wonder why, well, how does the queen stay so healthy? How is she so vibrant and amazing? They use homeopathy, and they've used homeopathy for many, many decades. It's a part of, a lot of people use homeopathy. It's part of the national healthcare system in Switzerland. It's part of the national healthcare system of Canada. It's all used throughout South America. It's not as common here as it once was, because you also have a lot of medical colleges that started out as homeopathy schools. So the University of Chicago Medical School was initially a homeopathic school. University of Minnesota had a homeopathic school. You have these old homeopathic hospitals. For me in Bryn Mawr, Minneapolis, we had the Martha Ripley Homeopathic Hospital, which is on the corner of Penn and Glenwood. And so it just closed in the 1960s, but it was a homeopathic hospital. So you have a whole long tradition of homeopathy in the United States. It's just that other things have come into practice. Other things have taken away, but hopefully homeopathy will still be present and fighting for access to homeopathic remedies. Yeah. It's still a safe and effective integrative treatment protocol. Again, it's not your place, regular medicine. You're still going to see your doctor, but it's also what else can we do to help people feel their best is my intention anyway.
Since we're nearing the end of the interview, a couple of things I always like to ask. The first one is, what does the word nourish mean to you?
Yes. And I thought about that because I knew that yes. And I think there's a, when I think of nourish, I think of contentment or being satiated or feeling just really good in your body, whether that you're feeling on course and just having that sense of contentedness, whether it's being nourished with ideas, with love, with philosophy, with health, with food, it's all encompassing for me.
Oh, I love that. And what's one thing you do regularly for self-care?
I walk a lot. I walk outside a lot, no matter the weather. I'm always outside with my wonderful Aussie Border Collie. So I'm definitely out. Recently I saw something on TV, thinking about like the pilgrimage in Portugal. Feel like I don't necessarily have to go to Spain and go to Portugal to do my walking. I can do my mindfulness and my pilgrimage in my backyard or wherever I'm at. I can have a nice contemplative walk wherever, and it's accessible and easy for everybody to do, to be outside.
I see you guys out walking all the time.
We're out walking all the time.
Are there any last thoughts or ideas you wanted to leave our audience with today?
Oh, I just thank them for listening. Thank you for taking the time. And hopefully at some point, homeopathy will cross your path and hopefully it will be a good and wonderful experience.
I know our audience is going to want to connect with you. What's the best way for them to find you online?
Yeah, it's Bryn Mawr Homeopathy. And I mostly just have a Facebook page.
Perfect.
So it's Bryn Mawr Homeopathy. It's probably the best way. I'm also listed with the homeopathic certification, also with the Minnesota Homeopathic Association too.
Great. So I will link everything up in the show notes. Thank you so much for being on today. You just bring so much knowledge and light and experience to this topic, and I just really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Nourish and Shine. I hope that you enjoy this episode and that you'll leave me a review on iTunes so that more people can hear the podcast. I'd also love to connect with you on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I would love to hear your questions, so please send them my way. Also, you can check out my website. It's amysopola.com. I hope that today's interview provided you with some inspiration and practical advice to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, optimize your health, and to live a whole, vibrant life. Please join me again next week for another amazing interview. Have a wonderful week.